here. Oh, let's talk about it. The part two of the story, Damika Johnson. We brought a special guest today. Somebody that can tell us a little bit more about the story than even Damika could. We're here with her mother, Miss
Shirley Williams.
Miss Shirley Williams. Shirley Williams. Shirley Williams has been through a lot. So we're going to go back. Damika was telling us her story from what she could say about what was going on when she had this traumatic event. Okay. For you, we go back to 2012.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you now, I'm a little mixed up on the years because it was so much going on.
That's what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. Like, you had already had some traumatic things happen.
Right, I had a son that had passed and a mom that had passed within a week's time. So. Plus, I had found out I had breast cancer.
So you're a cancer survivor.
Yes.
So you had to turn into this superhero. Already being a mother. How many kids, how many children do you have?
I have four.
Four children.
Three daughters, one son. I had a son.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you was taking care of your mother.
Yes, I had moved my mom in with me for her health reasons and stuff. So she was living with me at the time, too.
So, tragedy was hitting you.
Yeah.
How did you stay strong?
I had to do it. It was nobody else to do it. And I had to step up and do it.
With that, and you're fighting. So did you find out about your cancer before? What was the time frame?
Well, Damika hadn't had the stroke and the heart attack. Mm-hmm. So right along that, just before when I found out I had breast cancer. Okay. Then she had the heart attack. So I put my breast cancer on hold because I had to take care of her. She was in the hospital, but Damika was in a coma.
Okay.
The first time for like 6 months. That's when they operated. Went in her leg, messed her nerves up in her leg, and had to be put on the add-back in order to survive, in order to survive to get a heart transplant.
Okay, so let's go back. So Damika's going through this. She has this heart attack. Do you remember where you were at?
Yeah.
When you got to come?
I had carried her to Emporia Hospital. They admitted her for sugar. Her sugar was high. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the night, I got a phone call that she had had a heart attack. They were sending her to Petersburg. Sent her to Petersburg on the rescue squad. Carried her directly into surgery. Bought her directly out of surgery because it didn't do no good. Mm-hmm. And sent her directly to MCV. That's where she were for 6 months with just in a coma.
So they come to you and say, when they did the surgery on her leg is what put her in a coma to give her the heart attack?
No. Okay. She had a heart attack already. Emporia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when did the leg injury, when did that?
When they went in to operate on her heart.
For the machine.
For the machine. Okay. That's when they messed her veins up in her leg.
So this is something we were talking about, like say, we're not no doctors about malpractice, any of those things. But when they came out and they say, sign this paper, and the reason why I'm intervening with this question also because we don't know like medical science or what, some lawyer may see this later on and say, well, y'all still had a lawsuit.
True.
Because the fact that if someone comes in and says, sign this paper or we're not going to continue your daughter's surgery.
Well, I had no other choice.
That's what I'm saying. You had no choice because of what
I wanted her to survive the night to put this machine in.
But that's the thing about it. They knew something had transpired. You understand?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so with them knowing something transpired, you know what I'm saying? Was they covering themselves by saying, sign this paper or we're not going to be able to put the machine?
I really can't say, but at that point.
You was just there to save your daughter.
Thinking of saving my daughter.
Yeah.
That's all. Yes. Because even when Damika did wake up, she was very angry with me, which I didn't really realize how angry 5 years later. Mm-hmm. Because I had ordered to put this machine in her, but she could not have survived without this machine.
Okay.
And then you plugged it in the wall. She hated everything about it. So because she was angry at me because she had to walk around with Mr. Machine. But I did what I had to do to save my child.
And we thank you because she's a beacon of light to us. So we do thank you for that. I mean, because that's a lot for a mother. A lot of mothers have not had to make that life or death situation.
True.
That choice. And some people may look at it and say, well, I wouldn't have or I would have. We don't know until we're in that situation. True. That what.
And at that point, I didn't know if I was, it was between three different things I could have chose between. But I felt like D'Amica would not have wanted the big balloon on her back. A machine, poo, poo, poo. I knew that. Then it was another machine. She would have to stay in the hospital until a heart come available, which it could have been years, or this one. But I could plug it in, get training, and she could come home with me. And that's what I decided to do.
Okay, so now she's, how, what was those 6 months of her being in a coma? What was it like for you?
D'Amica was swole like the Nutty Professor. Head, you could not recognize her. Arms, her whole body. She had tubes, big containers on the floor, coming from blood, coming through. Every machine you could name, she was on them. And it was very, very difficult to stand there and see your child in this condition. But I knew I had to do it. I went every day. And when they are like that sick, the doctors and nurses does not give them a bath. That's not their concern.
Oh, wow.
Their concern is their health. So I would go, I would give her a bath, I would turn her over, I would do everything, lotion her down, because I know how D'Amica is about her personal stuff. So I did all of that. I tried to learn everything I could from the nurses and everything.
So being a mother to your daughter who's in a coma, then you still got...
I had D'Amica three kids that I had to step in.
So now you got to be a grandmama.
And back a mama.
And a mother.
Because with these three
and
kids.
And a wife.
Right. They were young. They were young kids when this happened to their mama. They were devastated, especially the girl. Because her and D'Amica was so close.
She's a diva, so we are.
Yeah, so they were so close, so. She had little mental stuff going on. She was still in school. The school was calling me, and I had to let them know what was actually going on and stuff like that. And I thank God and the husband that I do have because it was never, ever nothing. They are behind me 100%. Every day, helped out whenever he could. Weekends, that's when he went to see D'Amica. I went during the week because I had to quit my job.
So that's a lot in a whole whirlwind of things like transpiring in 6 months.
Yeah, our life, me and my husband life, won't me and my husband life anymore. It revolved around the children, D'Amica, her children, doing what was best for them.
So you have that going on. You're being a mother, a grandmother, your daughter's in this coma. So when she's about to, how did you feel when they said the heart, that they had found the heart for her?
All right, this is maybe like 18 months later. She came home. And one day me and D'Amica was in the house and all of a sudden she was like, Mama, I got a heart. I was like, what is you talking about? Because her phone had rung. And I didn't believe it. So I told her, let me speak to the nurse to see if you heard what you think. So she was like, Miss Williams, you need to get D'Amica over here within the next hour. We have a heart.
To Richmond?
To Richmond.
Okay.
Get you in contact. Speed.
You were speed.
With all your family.
It takes a little bit longer than an hour to get it.
Yeah, so... I called her daddy, her sisters, her brothers, the whole family. We got her there. They carried D'Amica in about 3 o'clock that afternoon. Everything was going good. Every hour on the hour, they would call me. She doing good. She doing good. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they called. And they said that they needed to see me upstairs in the conference room. I knew in my heart then something went wrong. And I was telling my husband and her children, I said, this ain't good. This is not good. So we went on up there, all of us went in the room. And they told me they had her on the table. They hadn't shut her up. And I thank God that they didn't, because they told me she had had a heart attack with the new heart. And come back, it was another paper. I either signed this paper or she was gonna die. Her sister, them, everybody ran out the room, her children hollering, screaming, crying, and just left me and my husband. And I think my sister stayed with me. I had no other choice. Mm-hmm. I had to sign it. Because the only thing I'm thinking about, I don't want my child to die. Mm-hmm. So I signed the paper. That's when they brought her back out of surgery. D'Amica stayed in a coma again 9 months this time.
So she's been in 2 comas this year.
Right. D'Amica does not know half of
what you that, and that's why we wanted to do this other part of the podcast, because it's like we say about everybody has a story, every person needs something like right. a time capsule, and not only once was she in a coma that she knows about, right. but then here it is, you in another coma,
right? Like people, 18, 19 months later. But this one lasts for 9 months this time. Mm. She was in a coma.
So you back to starting all over again with washing her and
yeah.
being
when
there.
When I did bring her home, even after the 9 months, D'Amica was just like a baby. I had to teach her how to feed herself again, how to walk. And during the time after she had came out, her chest, they thought it was healed. They mm-hmm. sent her physical therapy, but they broke the bone. Mm-hmm. They couldn't carry her back to surgery. It had to heal back on its own. Mm-hmm. D'Amica's chest was wide open. Mm. I had to clean it, pack it. She had so many marks on. It would take me about a good 2 hours every morning to just take care of her wounds. Mm-hmm. Then I would have to feed her and do whatever.
So that's
was my life.
Yeah, you're a superhero for real. And I know that your daughter not only appreciates it, I know she loves you because of it. You know, I know y'all probably butt heads sometimes.
Because both of y'all head when there's the more she got well, the more she talked trash to me.
Yeah,
she was very angry at me for a lot of things that I didn't think she were, but she didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know she felt that way.
And that's a thing. I think in the black families in general, we don't talk about things.
Right.
We don't. We are taught to suppress.
Yeah, she would things. Say something every now and then. Like she was angry at me because I was walking.
I wasn't angry with her. I was angry with the situation.
True.
Yeah, I knew she did everything she could do, but it was more so me just being angry at how I was due to what had happened.
Because.
Yeah, but it wasn't ever at her. I wasn't angry about the machine because I knew she made the right decision. I would have did it. Yeah. I would have made the same decision if it was with me and one of my kids. But I was just angry at the fact that, hey, I can't walk. I can't do nothing. I was just made
at the world.
Yeah, basically.
And that's what we know that you are a religious woman. Not maybe not be like people want you to be, but we know that you have faith. And so your faith was tested to the utmost.
That's what got me through. Mm-hmm. How did I get through all these tragedies? Mm-hmm. By my faith, mm-hmm. in my heart. What I talk to God every day. Mm-hmm. I may not go to church like I should.
Yeah, but church is not the
building. It's in here.
Yeah, and that's
and I was raised that way. Mm-hmm. By people in my family, my great-grandmama, my grandmama, my mama. Mm-hmm. And that's all they, and that's what got me through all of this, mm-hmm. is this faith. Because I never once, with my son, I knew God had said, you only loan him to him for a time. Mm-hmm. He belonged to God. Mm-hmm. And I had got to accept it was time for him to go back. My child had suffered for a while.
But you fought for that one right there.
Yeah. But I never had that feeling that she was going to leave me. I knew. Every day the doctors was coming to me. I mean, every day. D'Amica's not going to make it through today. Mm. Call all her family. D'Amica's not going to make it through today. I got tired of it. So one day I told them, don't come to me anymore with that, because God ain't say so. Mm. And D'Amica going to be all right. You do what God tell you to do. Mm. That's all I want y'all to do. You go in that room. You do what God say do. And we got the rest. And I never did. I never felt that she was going to go away.
And that's like one of the questions I asked her in the first interview was with her faith and just the state of being in a coma. Because like I explained to her before, like one of my biggest questions in life was with the Holy Spirit and the power, like what is it so powerful that blocks you from doing everything and being conscious? And she explained like one time when her son was crying and she reached up and touched
his
face.
And I'm gonna tell you, that was that day I cried so bad because I had watched her for months lay there. And this was the time they had told us to go in and say goodbye to her. Me and her children was there side to bed. And her oldest son, he was crying so pitiful. But all of a sudden, D'Amica Haynes just started shaking. And she just went up. And she just patted his face. And her hand went on back down. Mm-hmm. And where she got this strength from, I don't know. And it was the saddest thing in the world to see young children staying around your mother. And then I knew if they see me cry, mm-hmm. they're going to follow the universal. Yeah. So a lot of times I didn't cry because they were looking at me. Whatever happened, they'd look at me first. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of feelings in. Yeah. I had to try to be strong for the children, you know, for them.
Wow. So that's...
Yeah.
Whew, like you said, your experience as a mother is a testimony to a lot of mothers of what, because we watch shows and see like a mother, a car fell on their kid and they got the super strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had to dig down deep and
yeah.
get your super strength.
True. Very
because
true.
Of, and even like we know she's being headstrong and like you've moved her in and moved her out. She wants her independence.
True.
You know, and, yeah. and things of that nature. So how do you control not being an overpowering mother now? Okay. How do you get that balance?
Because I want her to get the life that she had back
mm-hmm.
before all this happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I want it for her so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want D'Amica to realize you're never, ever gonna be back 100% where you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide. Somewhere you gotta settle for things the way they are. And she's never ever gonna be the D'Amica before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get back so much more of your life, which she has.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's gonna be a battle, and it has been a battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you coming home with me just like a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have no physical therapy, people came in.
Mm-hmm.
I stood D'Amica up. I taught her how to walk back there in the hallway. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. you know, we battle every day. We in the house together every day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the life I want her to have as much as her life back mm-hmm. as she can have. And I know I have to be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to take up the time. And another reason why, when she came to you,
mm-hmm.
and I told you, D'Amica depends on me too much
mm-hmm.
because of what we have been through together.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. But she would listen at you and do a lot more push herself more. She'll push herself. That's why I told you I won't come in with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because with you working one-on-one with her, you can get a lot more out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I want.
What have you seen since she's been in Strong Timber? What have you seen about her?
She's more confident in herself. She tries to do a lot more. Mm-hmm. As far as bending down, D'Amica hadn't bent down in over 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
She hadn't tried to bend there. She probably could have, but you know, she knew I was gonna get it for her anyway. So, you know, she just depend on me, and you want this life back, you got to fight for it back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell her. Mm-hmm. You wanna go, I'm gonna make sure you get there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going in with you. Why not? Mm-hmm. Because you would do better without me sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she will push herself more.
She told me about some a couple of times when she catch attitude and she done went and got in the car.
Mm-hmm. I just laugh at me. Don't bother me.
She drive off.
Yeah.
And then come back home and say, y'all come outside to get me.
Uh-huh. Well, I said, well, you really you gotta come on back up here on your own. I mean, you got to have the laughter with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of stuff she do. Like when she was very sick, I had to give 15, 20 pills a day.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the house but me and her.
Don't tell you that.
I get her the pills. When I look the pills all over the floor, I'm like, well, I know I didn't waste these pills. She said she took the pills. Then the bed full of pills.
I mean, I had so many pills. It's like, yeah. I just used to get tired of taking them.
You got tired of taking the pills.
But I'm so like, how did these pills get on the floor? Ain't nobody in the house but me and you.
Yeah.
Well, I took them. Okay.
I got better with that.
Yeah, she got better with it.
I had a terrible problem.
Cause I told you need them, not me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sweep them home and up. Yeah, I ain't gonna sit here arguing with you all day and I got to do all this for you, girl. You crazy. Yeah. I go on by my pen and leave in there.
Yeah.
But I made sure she needed what she had.
That's great. Yeah. Like, and it's a joy just to be, and like I say, I'm grateful personally that you all took a chance with me. Because, like, we know many times I've seen y'all. I used to go to church with you all. And even when you drove up there last time and she called me out there, Jane, I'm coming in here. I said, all right. You know?
Yeah.
You know, but, and I told her, like, what you put in it is what you're going to get out
True.
Of. If you give me your all, I'm going to give it to you. Like, and it may seem abstract why I tell you to do these things. It may seem like Mr. Miyagi when he telling Daniel son to wax on, wax off, wash the car.
Right.
And you say, why?
And she's learning it. And, yeah. and that's why I said, I don't need to be in here when she does that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can teach her a lot more
mm-hmm.
than what I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm at home with her. Mm-hmm. Whatever she needs, she know I'm there 100%. Mm-hmm. Day and night.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sometimes and she likes to work out more. Now I see, like you say, we've moved to an hour. I think the hour and go by so fast for her now. And like say, we're only still doing 2 days because of her dialysis,
right? Mm-hmm.
And all the other stuff. And she does need to rest after. But to hear her say like, "Oh, I'm cooking," or mm-hmm. you know, "I'm doing these
oh,
other things."
Oh, she cooking today?
Yeah, yeah. And bending down, picking up stuff. She dropped the brush and she picked it up, and she's
that's
holding
the
it.
The stuff like that.
The little things.
She hadn't been able to do those things,
mm-hmm.
and that's what really, really matter. Those little things.
Mm-hmm. Because the first time I told her to bend over and pick something up, I told her to hold her, and she's like, no. Nah. And I'm like, pick this ball up. And yes, the ball weighs 6 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can pick up this ball, these 6 and 8 and 10 pound balls, when you go down to pick up a plate or a brush or something mm-hmm. like that, you're going to come on up with no problem.
And that helps even with the simple. Like you say, you helping her do that. She has a little grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amica actually can bend down and pick him up off the floor then.
Mm-hmm.
Those things means a whole lot to her.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may overlook all this little simple stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you lose this stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's a different story to fight. They had to try to get your life back to how it used to be.
That's it.
And that's what I want. That's why I fight so hard with her every day. Because I want her to be able to have as much as her old life back as she mm-hmm. can get it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I told her, like, for me, even with Strong Temple, I think that a lot of times I could have been left this time. You know, a lot of times people tell me, offer me positions and things to go everywhere else. And I keep on telling my friends and stuff, like, my mission's not done here yet, you know. And even like with D'Amica, and around the time things was, her life was changing, mine was about to change because I was coming home.
Right.
You know, 2012, I'm coming home, and my life is changing while her life is changing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, at the fork in the road, we meet and say, okay, now she needs you.
Right.
You know, like, I could have been gone.
True.
And so, and she could have picked anybody else to train her.
True.
You know, we have friends that train. We have all this stuff that could have trained her. Other places she could have went. But then she made a conscious decision to come and let me. And like I tell people, it's not me. You know what I'm saying? Whether we call him the God or the universe or give him a name or no name, you know, the power that's within us is just amazing.
Yes, it is.
And I'm proud of you and grateful for all that you do. And if she don't tell you thank you, I'm saying thank you.
Oh, she do. Yeah. I know she appreciate it. You know, it's been a hard road. Mm-hmm. A hard road. I'm not lie about it.
Yeah, no. And some that's days, your truth. Yeah.
I get frustrated. Mm-hmm. She get frustrated with me. She might go in her room. We might not talk for about an hour. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she'll hang the phone up on me when she was on her own. But I said she'll call back. Because it's a hard life that we have.
Yeah.
But God has given us the strength get through it, laugh about it, and keep on going.
Especially now, like, these are the time. We in the holiday season.
Yes.
And a lot goes on emotionally and a lot of things in the holiday season. Yeah. And, like, it's still things that she wants to do. She still has her friends and stuff. And mm-hmm. she say, like, they tell me to go bowling or go out. And
right.
She doesn't feel because of the wheelchair. But look, it's like I told her. Even when she came to me and told me that I have no feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your reaction the first when she came back that after her leg was hurting? And she told you her leg.
I was so happy for her when she said that leg was hurting. Because D'Amica would do things that, let's take for example, I got a fireplace. You know you ain't got no feeling in your leg. Why you stay right there till your leg got burnt? You know? Mm-hmm. Well, Ma, I didn't feel okay. But you know it. But the next day, you go right back there and sit in front of that fireplace. So I told her, well, you sat right on there and burn up then. Yeah. I'm going to sit over here. But it's the things like that. So when she said that, she could actually feel it.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, some hot, and she felt it.
Some hot got
she hollered. Mama. I said, oh, God, what is where I went running? But she felt it.
And that's the part that I'm grateful for. Because, like, even... reading all the different books and like me, I'm not a trapped into one religion, but I read things that the Bible says, and life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that he gave us healing powers,
right,
that we can speak to these things. And for her to start healing, or her nerves connecting again,
true,
you know, and that she can feel pain now, you know what I'm saying? Some of us may look at it and say, like, I don't want to feel pain, but it's a joy to her that she can feel the heat.
Because D'Amica had me, I mean, over these years, I have carried her to every doctor so many times.
Mm.
And they keep telling her the same thing.
Mm.
And I had asked her about maybe 6 months ago, Mama, I done made this doctor appointment with this doctor about my nerve. I said, why do you keep putting yourself through this?
Mm.
They have told you and told you, your nerve damage is gone. But my appointment is such a day. I said, okay, I'm carrying her on.
Mm-hmm.
I sit back there. I didn't say nothing. The doctor turned around and told her the same thing. D'Amica, you got your file to pull it up on the computer. You have been to every doctor there is.
Mm.
It's nothing we can do about this nerve. So I pushed on out of there. She was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I told you, why do you keep doing it to yourself? So she said, this is the last time. I said, okay. So she never said nothing else about that until that day when she came home and said she could feel her nerve.
She could feel it. And now she's feeling heat. Like, we've even mm-hmm. done a test here, and I've made her. A lot of things that people be like, yo, it's so abstract what you do. I told her to close her eyes.
Yeah.
I said, close your eyes, and I'm going to touch your leg, and you tell me where you feel it at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what, like when they say walk by faith, this is the thing with the lady with the issue of blood, you know, and they said that your faith is what heals you. Mm-hmm. Like I told her to close her eyes and I touched her leg in certain places and she had feeling all except for one part right in the front. She's like, mm-hmm. I can feel you touching it right here. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And you're touching it right there.
And another thing you had did with her that had really shocked me. And I knew that's what she needed. But see, I couldn't get her. Maybe I couldn't explain it right to mm-hmm. her. I'm trying to help you walk. But she would look down
mm-hmm, yeah,
she... at her foot. Mm-hmm. And she had told me, Ma, Jean told me to look up and just. And I was saying that that's what you needed. Mm-hmm. But see, I didn't know how to help her with it either. You know, mm-hmm. I'm holding her. She looking down. But that way is better, what you was teaching mm-hmm. her. So, like she said, she closed her eyes and don't look at her foot. Mm-hmm. And she does a lot better that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell her all the time, close your eyes. I've made her walk backwards, frontwards. Close your eyes.
And it's really helping.
Because walking is an involuntary movement. We don't have to tell our feet to go there or do this. Mm-hmm. Breathing is an involuntary movement. You don't have to tell your lungs, okay, breathe in and out. Even now, when you're learning how to control your breathing for a race or running or something like that, yeah, then you learn a pattern of how to control your breathing, but you just don't say, oh, breathe. Lungs go mm-hmm. in. You don't tell your feet to walk. Like I tell her a lot of times, look at your destination. Look at where you're going. Look at where you're going, right. And we're going to get there. Because once your brain tells the rest of it, okay, we're going to that chair, we're going to walk. And those are the simple things that I try to just let her see. And also, little do people know, you don't need your eyes to see.
True.
You know?
Very true.
You don't need your, you can close your eyes, like your new house, probably not now, but you can go back to your old house.
And go through
open
it.
The door, close your eyes, and you can walk through that house without, and people can try it. You know, if you don't believe it, try it. Go to, close yeah. your eyes. Because then your third eye gonna open up and everything's gonna be clear. You're gonna see the picture of everything that's in front of you.
Yeah, that's true, because that really helped her a lot with that walking, because mm-hmm. she would look down at her feet. Mm-hmm. And I always tell her, don't say what you can't do.
Mm-mm. She know we don't use can't do nothing either. But can with a try.
And when we first started walking up and down the hallway, I can't do it. I said, as long as you keep saying you can't, you ain't gonna never do it. Mm-hmm. But you gonna walk up and down this hallway today. Mm-hmm. So I would get that walker, you know, and I help her stand up, mm-hmm. and I'm right there behind her. Mm-hmm. You know, no physical therapy, nobody but me.
And that's a lot. And not to say, what in my time of training, I've started to see like physiotherapy only does just enough. They get paid top True. Dollar. And they do just enough to say they did.
Right.
And what happens to the person afterwards, you know? And that's what we built Strong Temple on. Like, even with her story is an encouragement to so many others. When she first started telling me, I was like, yo, like I told her, like, the Betty Wright song. It's happening every day, people. And
yeah.
People want to hear about it.
It is. And
so tell the people.
Yeah. I mean, D'Amica has, this is just part of it, of what we went through.
Yes.
Part of.
So what would you say to that mother, or because it's another mother that's going through or that is going to go through what you went through, maybe on a higher level, a lower level, but how would you tell a mother, a sister, a grandmother, what would you say encouraging enough to them to say, hey, or, and after that, I want you to tell D'Amica something.
Another mother, the love for your child. My children has been my whole life. And I went ahead another way. And when you got a child that's hurt, sick, whatever reason, that pain is your pain. What that child go through, you feel it in your heart. And you're going to be there for that child. And that's what a mother is supposed to do. My mom, no matter what, she was there for us. So when my mom got sick, and I asked her, did she want to live with me? She started crying. And I asked her, why are you crying? She said, because I wanted to come live with you, but I didn't want to ask you. And I told her, you took care of me as a child, what I couldn't do for myself. Now you can't do for yourself, and I'm going to take care of you until the day you die. And I did it. And that's, I feel that's what a mother love is. You're going to do whatever you can to help this child all you can.
And not to cut you, a lot of mothers don't know how no more. And I say that because the generational things.
Oh, I know. I got them all, and you see it,
that it has changed. That agape love, that love that you share with D'Amico or the rest of your children, you know, not the love to just say, oh, I'm going to tap you on your back when you're doing right and I'm going to brush all your wrong away.
No.
But that love to stand up and show people, because we don't love each other no more. The black family and community.
Well, the man, right or wrong, they in the family said, my mouth is my biggest problem. But I don't care. Because if you wrong, you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's D'Amico, grandkids, especially my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got some of them that blocked me on Facebook because they put up stuff they shouldn't.
Yes.
And if I don't think you should, I'm going to call you on it.
That's right.
So I ain't for your friend. I'm your grandmama.
And that's what we was just talking about the other day. We have parents so much trying to be the friend of the child.
And even my baby girl, Amanda, I had to tell her all the time, who you think you talking to? She's 42 years old, but I'm your mama. Yeah. I ain't trying to be your friend.
That's powerful.
You know.
That's powerful.
I got to make sure I would try to raise my kids and my grandkids. You got to live out here in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do right. And I want each and every one of them to live right. And that all of us, we're very close. Mm-hmm. Very close.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tell them, you get mad with the other one. Everybody have a right to your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody have a right to say what you want. We don't agree on everything, but you can talk about it and, you know, be honest with it. And we still gonna love each other at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You still gonna be there if that person needs you, mm-hmm. no matter what.
That's it.
Yeah.
What you wanna say to your mother?
Let's hear this.
I thank her for everything she done because I used to feel like I was a burden on her because before my mama do anything for herself, she made sure I had my bath, I was fed, she'll go half of the day. She still ain't even got dressed herself. So I appreciate everything. You know, I got really attached to her.
You gotta tell her. Tell her.
But the reason why
I tell you tell her because give her flowers while she here. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we don't. And your situation is far greater than y'all bond. Like, I see y'all when y'all bickering. I see you when you loving. But y'all situation is a whole lot different. You know what I'm saying? Not only is she your mother, like, she's one of your best friends now.
Yeah, she's basically everything.
Yeah, so that's why mother, I tell you. Because sometimes she may, and though we think, sometimes we'll be like, oh, well, they know I love them. But sometimes words are so powerful that we miss out on saying, Mom, I love you. Mm-hmm. We miss out on saying, Grandma, I love you. We miss out on hugging.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Because we've gotten to a level, the family has stretched this far away. And it's time to bring families back closer together and set examples that when you wake up and tell somebody, like y'all both know, everybody know, I work at a funeral home. You may not tell that person. You may went to sleep saying, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and tell her that I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you wake up tomorrow and she's not there for you to tell her? So that's why I said, tell her. What would you tell her? Or tell her so she can hear you.
Oh, I tell all the time.
Oh, she do.
I know she do.
Yeah, I tell her because I appreciate everything. Because I wouldn't make, I wouldn't have made her a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
D'Amico really... She knows me better than any other one of my children.
Yeah.
And they always laugh at her because Christmas gift, birthday gifts, or what? She knows. I know I'm gonna get what I really, really want. Cause mm-hmm. Damika know me, and the rest of. Oh, she just called us for the money. We got to buy what she want to buy. You know, because she know me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that she love me. Look,
this what we getting. You know, mm-hmm. I know this what she want. This what we
getting. So you the organizer.
Everything. Yeah.
They be like, how much pudding? Golly, how much? I just tell them, cause yeah. I listen to stuff and know, and I be around on the most. Yeah, because it was at a point I wouldn't do nothing. They wanted to take me to the stores. I ain't going. My mama ain't going. I ain't going no bad. Because I just was so, you know, scared to go out. And I knew my mama knew how to lift me, put me in the chair. She knew everything. And they coming down sometime and want to take me. I was like, no, I don't want to go today, but I be wanting to go. But I just was scared. So.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That. Because with her, like, getting... aging, let's not say you know, but she's aging and her strength and stuff. Mm-hmm. So with you now being able to get out the car,
yeah,
you know, and things that's taking a little bit, and it's confident. I think it's confident to her
know.
That mm-hmm. okay, like I'm not gonna fall, or I know if I push too much, then yeah, but then now, like when I tell you, look at everything around you, mm-hmm. you know. If I do, how do I pull myself up? How do I do this?
True.
So, like, one time she told me, that's the first time. What we was doing? We was doing exercise. She's like, that's the first time I laid on my stomach.
Oh, yes. Laying down.
Yes, the first time I laid down.
And that's what I say. Coming here has helped her in so many ways. All of the small things that other people probably will overlook mm-hmm. that they can just normally, I can just normally get up and do a day. Mm-hmm. But she can't. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I am getting older, mm-hmm. and like I tell her, Damika, I want you to get this because lifting the wheelchair back and forth two or three times a day, she loves to go shopping, she loves to go do this, she mm-hmm. loves. Damika got a lot of energy to be in that wheelchair. But honey, she gets in them carts at Walmart, and she get the ride. And I tell her, if you don't slow down, I'm walking, girl. I'm old. You going on around the store.
She driving up.
By the time I get to her, she done pull off in the car again. You know what I'm saying?
I like them cars because I can go where I want to go.
She love them.
You know,
and I hate them.
I got to go where they push me to.
Yeah.
And
I hate them.
On my own. Yeah.
But, you know, I just stay back and look at her. Yeah. This girl go crazy here. She think I'm going to run behind this car, you know. Yeah. But I want her to be able to go out with a man and them and enjoy life because I'm getting older. That's not, I don't like to do a lot of that mm-hmm. stuff, you know, mm-hmm. but I know she do. Mm-hmm. But wherever we go on vacations or whatever, we going to include her
yes.
in that,
yes.
you know.
That's a good thing that the family still
you do that.
Makes
yeah,
her a part of it instead
yes.
of making her feel like she's a standout or she was no. a burden.
Like she told me, you can't bow. Yes, you can bow.
No, yeah, that's
I'm
going to
push you halfway to anything.
But you know why she can't bow? Because you know she keep her nails done.
That's why. And
she can't put the nails in.
In the hospital, the doctors tried to put the thing on.
Impossible.
She still couldn't even get the thing because of her nail. I said, you need to cut. I'm not cutting my nail. I mean, if people can't take care of you, what is wrong? She would not cut them nails for nothing.
Yeah she got to have. She got to be flashy. So.
Yeah, but she reminded me of my mom. My mom was the same way. She didn't want to give away that independent. Or how she cared herself, and I made sure that she had everything, her bath, her lotion, her this, her that, her lipstick. My mom won't put lipstick on, go dialysis in the morning. And I'm saying to myself, you don't get in this thing and go to dialysis, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's the little things that meant a lot to them. Mm-hmm. And I try to want to keep all that for Damika. Mm-hmm. You know, she feel that she done lost a lot, and I can say for myself, not saying she no perfect child, mm-hmm. but Damika never drunk nothing a day in her life. Mm-hmm. She never smoked a cigarette a day in her life. And my son was the same way. And it's like she would say, why me? Questioning. Mm-hmm. Why me? Why did mom, why did this happen to me?
Because mm-hmm. it will make you question
right.
like the whole existence of this greater power.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, and like I had explained to her before, like with me, yes, I wasn't the perfect guy, perfect kid, but when you're saying that I might spend the rest of my life in prison. It does make you ask those questions of why. Like, or when we see things, see reality now. You see this person that did 100 things wrong and don't nothing happen to
nothing. Them.
And you doing 100 things right and everything happens to you.
True.
And even when we talk, we spoke last on the last show about though that the thing when people are running around and tell you, oh, he gives his hardest battle to the strongest fighters. Like, we don't want to hear that.
I done heard that so much, especially with my son and my mom death.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying, you know, he put that on you because he know you strong.
But what if I want to be weak?
But I had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. I had the Mika intercom. I had 3 grandchildren. I had to step in and start back raising. I was like, why me? Mm-hmm. You know, when give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I went through my chemo, my radiation and everything by myself and went to Richmond every day.
We applaud you. Really. Because, like you say, we know cancer alone is a whole different battle.
But D'Amico was at a point one time where her mind was getting ready to go.
Mm.
And I knew it. And I know, and my mom being working at Central State for so many years, if your mind, you lose your mind, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it in her if I didn't go, because I was doing my radiation. And for about a week, I didn't go. And the nurses at MCV, they knew. And they was like, we got to. Don't worry about it. You got to take care of you, which I knew. And she just started, like, she didn't recognize me. One day when I went there, she looked at me. And I was saying, what? And she was just looking at me like she didn't even know who I were. And I was like, Puddin'. And she said, what, who you? And I was like, you don't know me?
Mm.
And I started crying. When I started crying, she kept saying, I know you. I said, no, you don't. Mm. No, you don't. And she did not. So I told Manny, and they, my other children was fussing because they knew how sick I was. Mm. And I was saying, I gotta go back every day because I hadn't been in a week. She hadn't seen me. She had forgotten who I were. So I started going back, and it was like, Mama, you can't do that. You sick. I was like, yes, I am. My child's mind can be ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
If her mind go, I ain't gonna never get her back. And I went back every day. And in a couple of days, she got back to knowing who I was. Mm-hmm. But see, that gap of not seeing nobody, you was shut up in a room 24 hours a day by yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody else visited her. Not saying, now, don't get me wrong, her friends, mm-hmm. they went to MCV. Mm-hmm. A lot of her friends went, and I appreciate everybody that came over there. They prayed for her, pastors, everybody. But just at this one particular time, mm-hmm. you know, people got your away. Own life. Even my mm-hmm. other daughters, them, they couldn't come every day. Mm-hmm. They had jobs. You got to pay your bills. I understood that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be there, and she needed that contact. She had lost that contact with me for that week.
Mm-hmm.
And her mind, once I did that, she was back happy again, you know. Mm-hmm. She was straight.
Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I remember that one. She said that one because I think I had like a whole week and had no sleep or nothing. It was like I had started hallucinating and everything. And when she came, I was just like, I just couldn't remember who she was. And then when she started crying, I was like, okay, I remember. I just didn't know. I was like, is you real? I asked, is this really you? You know, I just didn't remember. Mm-hmm. And they would say it was like I hadn't had sleep. And I could remember like doing some crazy stuff that day.
She said she had a baby.
She said she had a baby.
Yeah,
she said I had a baby. It was a boy or a girl. I said, yeah, probably. Well, one of them. I had to be one of them, a boy or a girl.
They really had me on some strong medicine. I had many episodes. I was in and out. And I remember Amanda, I had won't eating like all day long. Wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink nothing. But I asked for food. Amanda never cooked the food. Bring it. They bring it. I'd be like, I don't want it. But the smell of it. I just
very serious. Mm-hmm. The doctors had told me
so much
she was dying from malnutrition.
Mm.
Laying in the hospital. They doing all she could. The other stuff was getting better. But she would not eat. And they was telling me, she's dying. because she's not eating. She's not eating, she's not drinking. I mean, you could actually see her bone. Mm. It's one day she was like this, and her son said, "Grandmama, what is that?" And when I looked, I said, "That's her backbone." So I'm cooking food at home, carrying it up there. She wouldn't eat it. A man and them, everybody doing everything we could. And then, see, it's affecting her sisters and them. Mm-hmm. Why is she going to die because she won't eat? Won't she open her mouth? All she got to do, she got to do this.
They get mad at her.
Right, yes. They mad. I mean, really serious mad because you getting ready to die. Mm. And it won't nothing else the doctors could do.
Then you wind up putting a feed into.
That's how you got the feed into, to make you, to force you.
Right. But she said, she kept saying, "Mama, I just don't have no taste. Mama is this. Mama is that." I mean, everything like she would ask for.
We go all day. One eat, one more than the drink, nothing.
Yeah, but she was actually starving herself to death.
So, and before we go, I just dabble into one more part, the depression state. Because that seems like that was embedded with the depression.
Father sent me home. They let me go home anyway.
Yeah, but one time she had... Well, she had woke up and she had got the tube from out of so she could talk.
She told me, hold on, before you go there, she told me you had told her to tie her down because she was snatching stuff out.
Yes, I did. They didn't, you know, over there it's against a lot of time down or whatever.
Yeah.
I told her tie her down. And they was like, "Man, I said tie her down. She can't be ripping these things out. She needs this stuff."
You tried to send me to the nursing home too.
And but this particular time she had been couldn't talk for a long time, and finally they got her so she could talk. And her daughter knows, like, I was like, came home. Because the kids, they got depressed going with her all the time. You know, your mama with her for 9 months, they going, the boys, grandma, we can't stay. And I understood them. So me and her daughter used to go together, and she said, "Mommy gonna be able to talk now?" I said, "Yeah, your mama gonna, she can talk now, you know, we excited, because these tubes is out of her." We get over there. D'Amica got to the point she would not even look at the girl. So I'm sitting there looking at her. She wouldn't look at her. So, you know, going back down the road, her daughter said, "Why you tell me mommy can talk? She can't talk." I said, "She can talk." She said she not say nothing. And when I thought about it, I said, "You know, she didn't." So the next day I went by myself. So when I got in the room, I said, "Hey," you know, she was so happy to see me. And I was talking to her, she just said, talking and talking. I said, "Why you ain't talk to Michaela? What is I'ma talk to them for?" I said, "What you mean, what you talk?" I can't do nothing else for them no more. So she got into this depressed state that she felt by being in her condition, she couldn't do anything else for her children anymore. So she went through that for a couple of weeks. You know, she just didn't want them to see her.
She didn't
want to
do nothing.
Right, because she felt she couldn't do nothing else for them. And I was like, "You can, you are their mother. You can, you doing it, but you gonna do it. You still their mother." You know, so we went through that.
So you had to pull the belt out.
Yeah, I had to let her know. I mean, because you're not talking to the, you hurt these children, they got feelings. You hurt these children feeling, which I understood what you going through, but we dealing with young kids, they didn't. You know what I'm saying? Her daughter was having a very hard time accepting what had happened to her mama, all of it, you know what I'm saying? So we went through so much. It was just, every day it was something new, you know? But, and then like one day I went there, he told me the day before D'Amica had a stroke on the brain during the night. I said, okay. So the next day when I go there, I'm, hey, so I know when she see me, she happy. She didn't do nothing. I said, "What in the world is wrong with this girl?" So they told me, said,
"Yeah, we want more that."
They sending D'Amica to a home somewhere up in Maryland. I said, "A home? Well, she signed the papers and she done all of this."
She signed the papers. D'Amica signed.
Said. I said, "Wait a minute. Now you told me yesterday D'Amica had a stroke on the brain." "Yes, ma'am. To me, Oh, D'Amica don't know what she doing there if she had a stroke on the brain. But a lot of black people need to know. D'Amica was not married, anything. So she was overage. That's what they was trying to tell me. So she can make her own decisions. So they had got her to sign papers, get ready to send her. And I was like, wait a minute. Now, how did she sign papers saying, yesterday she had a stroke on the brain. She don't know nothing, right? But the day y'all got her to sign all these papers before I got there, like I told them, my husband said, well, you gonna get locked up today. But I just go ahead and be locked up. I told him, that is my child. I had her. She ain't signing nothing. I'm legal over her. She don't have no husband. Them children, 21, they don't know whether they coming or going. You know, her oldest son spoke, but they were like, let grandma do. I told him, you sit down. Because I got this. I made that later. I told him, you better not to do nothing else. And they laughed at me because I ran the room the next day when I come back. Do not touch D'Amica until you call Shirley Williams at this number.
Because they gave me that Ritalin.
They gave you Ritalin.
Yes.
I had been waking up and I was asking, you know, like, I got to use the bathroom. He's like, you got a catheter. I was like, I can't do that. I want to go to the bathroom. So they wouldn't ever take me. So they said, like, stayed up complaining all night. So they gave me some Ritalin to calm me down. When she came in the next day, I was like,
a dummy.
So it happened like 2 days. Then she was like asking like what new medication they gave me.
Yeah.
And they explained they gave me the
And I had told them I didn't.
She went off.
Do not.
I had signs everywhere. Must call mother before anything. All in the room.
Yeah.
They walk her, anything they do, they had to call her there.
Because you, know,
they
you got
any changes after that.
She had good nurses, but they had a couple younger nurses. You know, those girls coming in, they getting good paychecks and stuff just for their paycheck. And I had the best caregiver, the lady that used to clean the room. She took care of D'Amica, too. I mean, whatever she could do for her. And she told me, she said, what the problem is, D'Amica want to go to the bathroom at night, and they don't want to get her up. So if they give her this medicine, they're going to knock her out. She ain't going to know. So that's what they was doing, so to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why when I told them, no, you don't give her that. You know, I called the doctor up there. Then we had a problem with you telling me she malnutrition, she dying because she not eat. But I get there, her tray is out of the nursing station standing up on the thing.
Somebody ate it.
Nah, her name's that you ain't even carried it in the room.
Sometimes they'll bring them and leave it in the day. I can't walk.
So how is she going to eat the food even if she did want it? How is she going to eat it if you got it out in the nursing station? Her name on it, I can read. So it got so bad that they asked me one day, the nurse said, Miss Wynn, what time you coming tomorrow? I said, don't worry about me. You be on time. Don't worry about what time I'm coming. Because, see, I will pop up anytime. But they knew I came every day.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Don't put your family nowhere and don't go back and check on them. You don't know what people do to your family.
Had some mean ones.
Yeah, it was some mean ones.
I couldn't even talk. Amanda, I guess Amanda knew the way I looked
at her.
They
bruised her up.
She asked.
Oh,
wow. She asked me, what's this one mean? Which one is? I'm just nodding my head. And Amanda go ask her, what you do to my sister? She can't talk, but you did something. Because I just look, I guess just looking. And I couldn't do nothing but looking or nod my head when she asked me.
So
you was getting abused and didn't, you knew it, but you could, like you said, you couldn't talk about
like
it.
She would
so if you didn't have family members.
That was checking, when you put family somewhere, you gotta check on them. Because, I mean, you don't know what's going on with them and what people are actually doing to them when you're not there. And if you're not going, you know, how you gonna know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and we caught a lot of stuff. Because, like I said, I was going every day. So I caught a lot of stuff.
You learned a lot, too. So, like, people can't tell you secondhand or, no, they don't do this or they don't do that in hospitals. Because, like, even with, like you said, just a simple thing. I've seen people who their family member, they could be their care nurse and don't even turn them. Like you saved her from getting bed sores and all that stuff because that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, D'Amica never had out of all this time, she never had a bed sore on her. Never.
That's a kudos to you because
yeah, and I understood why they were more concerned because she had so many health problems,
mm-hmm.
and it took them all day to take care of what they needed mm-hmm. to do. So I took care of all the other stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I thank God I did because MCV even stood up for me. D'Amica was not in condition to come to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
She should have went to a nursing home,
mm-hmm.
but MCV recommend for me to give a home. Because I had been there every day. I knew everything.
You knew everything. You knew how to take care of
right.
When I came home with the machine, I didn't know how to work it. Her and my sisters went through the training.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go off. I ain't know what it meant.
No, so if it went off, the beaker went off.
I be hollering. Oh, this machine going off.
I'm dying. God, you ready to call a helicopter.
And it was a big bag you had to carry with all these batteries and yeah. the machine in it.
And it did. So if it went off for 5 or 10 minutes, the helicopter would actually come.
It'd be his own standby.
His own standby, yeah. The man that told me, you know, we're going to land in the road, they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
They knew where we were at all time. She back there beeping one day. I said, Lord, let me either pull the car or jump or get in the back to find out wow. what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah, so we went through a lot.
Wow. So yeah. we here now, and we just, like I said, we thankful.
Yes, we are.
Thankful that you sat down this weekend to tell your story, your part of it, your version from a mother's eyes.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, D'Amica could see it from her eyes and what she was going through. But not only was D'Amica going through this, you were going through it.
True.
You stood right in the battle. You know, you stood right there and you were there for her. Like nobody else could be. Because
I knew nobody else would.
Mm.
Nobody else would do her like a mother would.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she needed.
Because she told me she done had boyfriends and they dipped off. And
everybody. I ain't getting that part. I say on that part right there, Jay.
You stay out of
the yeah. eye. I used to hear them sometimes. I got sitting there. I hope I ain't got to come through that room then. I let them argue though.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it got too tough. I'm going to get up out this bed now.
But that's yeah. the love. That's the joy. Like a lot of people saying that even people who've come through and see her working, they're like, that's Mika. Man, that Pudding.
Yep.
You know, and it, man, I ain't seen Pudding
since. And I can't say the people in Emporia, we a small town,
mm-hmm.
but so many people in Emporia have been behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So many people supported us, asked about her all the time, mm-hmm. and was, you know, people was always there and concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of times when she first came home with a wheelchair, she didn't want people to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell her, D'Amica, them people ain't thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, a lot of them are just proud that you are still here,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That
does change a lot of people
mm-hmm.
when your life do change like that, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking at it that way and not realizing people, it doesn't matter to people about not, you not being so, in a mm-hmm. wheelchair. People that really, really care
and
for
love
you
and care, about
care for you.
You,
it don't matter to mm-hmm. you, them that you in a wheelchair.
Yeah, 'cause she's surely she's a beacon of light to them. She's helping people more than she probably can understand
mm-hmm.
just by giving her testimony. You, this video, like, it's going to help people because now, like, a lot of people that didn't know either one of your stories, now they get to go back and push play and
yep.
stop and go back and listen to
just
it again.
Just don't never give up. That's no matter what the doctors tell you, just keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. Keep on pushing. Don't give up. And like I said, every day they was telling me she won't go make it. But my faith in God,
mm-hmm.
I knew she was going to make it.
That's it.
It was something else that out here for her to do. And like I always tell her, I don't know why God gave you this life.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the life, and this is what we had to deal with, and we're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we thank you. Anything you want to say, D'Amica, before we sign off?
Don't work me too hard, too.
Don't work. No, I don't know what that means. So, we did another one, you know. It's been great talking to these two lovely ladies. We are thankful for the whole message that King Crawley is getting about. So, here Oh, Let's Talk About It. We're going to keep bringing y'all different shows, different things, different questions. Y'all see something, you see the comment section? Hey, put some comments in there. What you want to know about? What you want to hear about? What you want to see? Because there's a whole lot of stories that need to be told. If you have a story that you want somebody to listen to or hear, you're going to get something out, hit Crawley up. Oh, Let's Talk About It. And Let's Talk About It. Thank you.
All right.